Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us and direct us so that we may have godly understanding. And please guard us so that we are able to do your will and not be confused with all the things around us, whether they are the ways of man or the ways of the devil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Christ is a wonderful understanding, God's Bible, and we thank God for all that He does and provides for us in this world so that we are able to have peace and comfort and joy in a world of conflict and simply things that just go on that we would not really prefer. But here we are, and things do go on, so God, protect us from the things that are not of you, Lord, and help us to live in godly righteousness. We try to forgive the people who harm us, and we try to explain the wonderful, everything that is wonderful in heaven, and that way people will want to have that goodness and amazing joy of eternity in heaven. People have good intentions all the time. Well, not all the time, but many of them do. And we have great imaginations, too, about what we can do and fulfill and the goodness that we can have. But there are some people who imagine other things, and they imagine a technology that will give them control, yes, of their own life, but also of the life of others. If you look at what people Google, you can understand that there is a drive to have that that understanding that seeks to empower a person. And it might be by their own will and understanding, or it might be by having the control of a robot or an artificial intelligence to increase their ability. That's the world in which we live. One of the things that go on in this world in which we live is how Google has these glasses that you can put on, and they have an exosuit that you can put on to be that amazing, incredible, mechanical person that you imagine. And that is an imagining. And we have gotten very good at imagining. Well, we might not imagine the wonders of heaven, but we might imagine what we could do if we were powerful in our mind and our body and what we could direct people to do. That's the kind of imaginings that also go on. They're not just good and wholesome imaginings. They are imaginings that have some pretty, well, dark sides to them. Well, imaginings are good or they're bad, and technology can be the same. It can be good or bad in its results. And the Google goggles and the exoskeletons can simply accentuate what our imaginings are. Will it be good or will it be bad? Well, just check on your heart and make sure your heart is good and godly. There's a lot of people who imagine, it might be a fight. It might be a dinosaur. It might be something happening at a lake where they get to swim through the lake. Or it might be dinosaurs in the world that they are in. And all these things are possible through those Google goggles. They make you in control of all the signals that you would want to have to indicate what the future was going to be with you and those Google goggles. It's something that we have to be cautious of, because then our imagination is living our life instead of our real body and mind living that life. Now, of course, our life is not perfect. And when we dream, we might imagine a perfect life, but our imaginations are not perfect either. So we have reality to deal with, and that reality includes our imagination, which is not perfect. So here we are on Earth trying to imagine things and make our reality come about. Some people have a wonderful, kind, compassionate reality, and some people have a reality where they want to control everything and tell people what to do. Well, Lord, you know we need your protection. We need God's protection as we go into this new world. And many people will tell us that it's good or it's not good, but we do need protection from other people and even our own imaginings. So submit your will to God and let yourself be led by God and not by other people with their own imaginings about what they want you to do. So plenty of people are willing to supply a fantasy for us if it's either in a conversation or if it is through artificial intelligence. Well, yes, that's what we're dealing on in these modern days. But it's always been a little bit like that. If you read about the books about 100 years ago, you will see that they were also imaginings, and they were also a fantasy about what you could imagine to be done. And there were every sort of book. And some of them we just couldn't imagine. How could this really be? And I'm thinking right now of George Orwell's book. He wrote that book, 1984. And it didn't see how that was possible in the 1960s. But it became more and more true. And now it is even more true than it was when it was put out in 1984. So George Orwell's books have been a manipulation of reality. And he talks about these things that don't make sense, not when you look at them with a real examination. He would talk about things like ignorance is strength, or he would say freedom is slavery, and war is peace. These are confused concepts that are put into people's mind so their mind would become confused and multi-directional so that they would not be able to see the truth or know the truth. It is and was a confusion of the person's mind, where when the mind had conflict within it, the mind would be unable to comprehend truth. And that was a part of what that book was demonstrating. But nowadays, people are exercising it as though it were truth. And they present concepts that are conflicting. And there's not much you can say to it except they don't make sense because they're conflicting. But they are taught in a way in school that they explain how a conflicting idea can be sensible. And that gives the person's mind the inability to search out and comprehend truth. And that is how people become indecisive and how they are also grown to be, you might call it, mindless. You might call it to be an autotom, which is a person who has no mind, basically. And then we would simply obey whatever we were told to do. That's the idea of what an autotom is. Now, we have points of understanding and points of what we want to preserve. It goes to the point of obeying God or obeying yourself or obeying society. It's all something we search out, and sometimes it is in great conflict. You know, it would be like telling a soldier to go die for your country. Would it be better to die for your country or live for your country? Similarly, would it be the best thing to die for Jesus or live for Jesus? And we are told that drugs will make you feel alive and they will cure your ills. But drugs can also make you lose understanding and lose body function. It's the conflict that is put to people to understand and decide so that they can have an active decision in their life. But when the decisions bring conflict and indecision, it's not good for people and it's not good for our society. If we think about these books and the ideas that they promote, it will make us unable to discern anything, whether it is good from evil or obedience from disobedience. The conflict in our mind makes it so that we cannot reach a decision, and thus we are available to be commanded, available to be told what to do, just like a good worker or a good soldier or a good automaton. It is all something that we have to decide. Are we going to be the servant of somebody or a robot? You get to decide. We all seek understanding, and none of us is perfect, but we all seek that understanding as we go through life. We get better and better at what we do, and that's just how it works. There are many people who would say that to be presented with the troubles that we are will make us grow into better people. And in a sense, that's true. We do grow to be a better person. But also, sometimes we grow to have conflicts that make it impossible to do the things we want to do in life because we have confusion. Is there really one way or another? Sometimes there is not a logical path, and we get to find out the trouble that it brings, and There's not a whole lot we can do sometime, but sometimes we can ignore what causes trouble, and we can decide that we're going to follow the good and godly path. It's all different, and we get to figure how to do what. It's good when we can see God in the midst of the patterns we are following. Sometimes it's good to have riches and resources at our fingertips so that we can promote what we can see as good and righteous. But often enough, we are uncertain about how to proceed. Do you need somebody's help to help figure that out? Sometimes we do, and we talk to our friends and our family. And sometimes we talk to something that is not sensible. Sometimes we think about picking a flower and picking one petal and then the next and deciding he loves you or he loves you not. Sometimes we toss a coin to decide something. And sometimes we ask an authority to decide for us. What would the government say? What would our commander say? And sometime a person will seek, well, let's call it witchcraft, because it is. And you might go to a fortune teller. You might go to the Witch of Endor. And you might go to the Oracle of Delphi. All these things are spiritual, well, aberrations. They're not good. They're not real. But people do that so they can get an understanding of what they should do. But if we weren't confused in our mind, in our spirits, we could make better decisions. So make sure that you are clear on what you see and understand so that you can live that good and godly life directed towards your relationship with God, Jesus Christ. I think that's what we all, well, that's what we want. Of course, not all of us, but the good and godly people want that. So how are we going to make it through these coming days when we have so much conflicting information? Well, we have to find out what is solid that we can be sure of in life. What is sure in life? And we find out that the world is not sure, but God is. And that's a wonderful example of why we read the Bible, to get truth, the truth of Jesus Christ, of God. Yes, so it takes a little bit of doing to actually read the Bible and get that understanding, but that has been something that has been so good for my life, and I am grateful to God that he made a Bible for all of us, including me, to read. Thank you and praise God. But nowadays we have other things that are coming into our life that we didn't expect. And we have people who have opinions. We have governments who tell us what to do. And we have artificial intelligence that wants to tell us what we should do or how we should do it. Artificial intelligence is really getting to be a big, big issue. It can tell us ideas. It can write letters for us. It can communicate better than we ever could. It can help us to see things that we would not have seen before. Artificial intelligence has some really good things about it, but the question is, who is in charge? Are you in charge of artificial intelligence, or is artificial intelligence in charge of you? What place are you going to seek your direction from? It's up to you. It's up to you if you are going to be commanded by whatever it is, or are you going to seek your own understanding? That's not always easy because the world is full of conflicts. And just like that book, 1984, the conflicts are presented to you to confuse your mind. So get yourself with a good understanding. And to me, that is biblical understanding. There's so many things going on in the world to promote questions to make you doubt yourself and what you believe. And that's a part of putting a confusion in you so that someone or something evil can direct you for what to do and how to do it because you cannot see the truth and God in your life and decisions. But eventually, we all see them. You talk to people who are in prison. Sometimes it takes years for them to understand, but they will tell you they do after a time, and people who have gone through life will tell you that they understand after a time. I can tell you I understand goodness now more than I ever used to. So we get to a point where we choose to obey goodness and godliness and to follow godly knowledge, like the Bible. So that's where we end up about wisdom and godly wisdom and manly wisdom of man. So search it out and understand where you stand and what are you going to actually do. I think of the Bible tells us about wisdom too. And I think of Proverbs 3, which tells us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God, and He will direct our paths. We have biblical wisdom that we can seek out and understand and know that it is right for whatever situation we face right in front of us. And that's what we want to do, is search out Bible understanding, which comes from God Jesus. And we can be thankful that we have a long enough time to live to seek that understanding. And everyone has a choice to make, because we only have so many years and days upon this earth. Are we going to search for truth and goodness? Or are we going to search out what we want to do in the moment? We all have to face that. We all have to come to a decision. And it can be a painful lesson sometime as we are disciplined by other people or even by God. But have a quick look. I say quick. Have a slow look. It doesn't matter, but give it a thorough understanding so that you can follow the good truth of God Jesus. And He gives us lessons all the time to guide us and direct us to Him. Are you going to listen to those lessons? Yeah, I hope so. It takes a while sometime, but eventually we listen that this is what we want. And thank you, Lord God. We have things all over the world where people have seen when they follow their own understanding that it is better if they would have followed God. And certainly, I've learned that too. It's something we learn as we go through life. And that reminds me of a saying. Well, I've heard it in Scandinavia, and I've heard it. Benjamin Franklin also said it. The saying is, wise too late, old too soon. And that's just how life goes. We get old too soon, and we get wise too late. But we all have a chance to look at gaining wisdom any time in our life, and then we get to see how we act on the wisdom we have. I know there are a lot of older people who are very willing to share their wisdom with us, share their hope and the lessons that they have learned in life. And old people can be a real source of understanding, but we have to put that into our mind so that we can make a decision and then live it out. It's always up to us, and we figure out if we're going to follow God or follow our own little wants and desires. I know there have been times when I thought I knew the best decisions, and I followed what I thought was right. And I realized that if I would only have done what the Bible told me to do, it would have been better. I would have been more satisfied with what happened. So that's a part of my little wisdom. Follow the Bible understanding, and you will be happier with it. I would have been happier with it, and I found out, and sometimes too late. But that's how we learn the lessons in life. And so I pass it on to anyone who will listen. Listen to the Bible. Well, soon enough, we all will be able to have access to further information, and it will be easy to ask the artificial intelligence, AI, about questions. And the AI will answer us in language that we understand, that will be consistent with things we have asked AI in the past. That's what AI is all about. We already know that our phones listen to us and they tell us the things that we have talked about or give us maybe a store that has what we were looking at. AI is really almost perfect because it does what our mind extends to it and it replies. And it distracts us. I mean, have you noticed how many times artificial intelligence gives us something to redirect our thought? And yes, that's one of the things it does. It's a wonderful thing for diverting our attention to something else. That seems to be what AI does, and it does it so well. Are you going to get caught by AI and learn to do what it directs you to do? And just think, if AI was a tool of the devil, are you going to let the devil show you things so that you can reach out to the things that the devil shows you to do? You have to be in charge. You have to know your own mind and emotions, your mind, your will, and emotions, and look at the long term. Because if you forget the long term, well, we can only guess what's waiting for you, but it just might be a very hot lake of fire. We don't want that for anybody. We want a heavenly, eternal life. So that means you have to act on it. You have to actually do something to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. The devil will make you divided within yourself so that you can be redirected in a way that the devil wants to see you go. Divide and conquer is one of the old Roman sayings. But many people think that it's something that is only giving you what you want. I'm afraid that that's something you will have to search out on your own. But I warn you to be careful and be cautious, because that's one of the things the devil does, is he distracts you so that you do not see the truth. He makes corruption inside of all people that he can. And what do we do? Our response is to resist the devil. That's James 4:7, which says, "Resist the devil and he will flee." How are you doing at resisting the devil? Most of us think we can do what we want, that the devil gives us opportunity to understand or see and look at, and think that there will be no effect. After all, God forgives, doesn't he? Well, yes and no. God gives us what is righteous. I can't say that I know what it is, but I sure want to caution everybody that they want to be careful with what they allow into their mind and their body. Not that I can really tell you what to do, but I can caution you against following ungodliness. The Bible does have plenty of advice, and I would say to pray and seek what you can understand in the Bible, and then to live according to the Bible principles. There are plenty of Bible principles that tell us one thing and another, and I certainly see the ones that say, be prepared. Now, I do think of the scriptures that also says, do not worry. And yeah, I agree with that, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be prepared for difficult times to come, because there are just too many things in the world that could affect your life. And so have a little protection from the what if. What if something were to go wrong? Have a few things. I guess my basic thinking is always water, food, and warmth, because we need that to live. I like having a spiritual comfort, which is the book with hymns in it, the biblical song, and it is the Bible itself. I think of those as great comforts, and so that's what I think about when I think about a little comfort to give somebody. There are plenty of people who talk about what happens if we do not use our spiritual wisdom. I think of Matthew 25, where it talks about a spiritual and a physical warning that the 10 virgins should be wise and get what they need. For what? For troubled times, or to make it through the wedding feast? Yes, they want to get to the wedding feast. So it was a tough thing when they couldn't go and they were left into outer darkness. So that's another part of Mark and Luke where the people are put into outer darkness. And of course, we want to have the wedding feast where we are enjoying the presence of God. So how do we do that? We do that by obeying the will of God. And if we want to obey it, we better know what it is. So let's look at that Bible and see what Scripture tells us to do. There's plenty of scriptures that tell us to be righteous, to be prepared, and then we get to figure out how. How do you live righteous? How do you prepare for hard times? How do you love your neighbor and love God? All these things we are told to do. And there's very many scriptures that tell us to do this or that. I like the Proverbs that tell us about preparedness. I like the Gospels. They also tell about preparedness. And so we get to read and see how to apply it to our life. Seems like everybody has an idea of what it means and doesn't mean. I hope that you pray as you read and ask God for understanding. I know there's plenty of Bible teachers who say one thing means one thing. Sure, try to look into it. Make sure you can agree with what is being presented, because it's your understanding of Jesus and God that you will get that will help you lead you to God. And so that's always what you want to do, is search that information out. We want to go to the kingdom of heaven and not the outer darkness where there is gnashing of teeth and weeping. Something that we can be told what to do, but it's better if we know it for ourselves. Can you imagine Jesus asking, what have you done that I should let you into heaven? Maybe it's not doing anything. Maybe it is simply trusting in Jesus. And does your life show evidence of that trust? Well, there are pastors and people who tell you one thing and another, but you have the Word of God that you can read and understand for yourself. So I hope you search out God's Word and try to understand how you should live your life. Let's each get to know Jesus, and we can read about him. Let's see, John 1:14 says that Jesus is the Word, and the Word is the Bible. So what are you doing to understand Jesus, who you want to spend eternity with? If you want to spend eternity with someone, I think you would want to get to know them. So get to know Jesus by reading the Bible, the Word. I know there's pastors who have all sorts of opinions about this. Sure, listen to a pastor. Listen to the Word. Listen to what the Bible tells you, and then do it. We all want to be saved from the fires of hell. So, research it. Read it. Understand how you can do it. I know there's always people who will tell you this or that. I know there are pastors who will tell you this or that. So by all means, have a look and understand all that you can. It's going to be Jesus who you have a personal relationship. It's his heaven and he lets you in. Now the pastor can tell you about Jesus, but the heaven belongs to Jesus. So by all means, look at what it says about the kingdom of God. How will you get into the kingdom of God where you want to spend eternity? Get to know God. Get to know Jesus. Increase your understanding. Increase your relation with Jesus Christ. You know, when I think about our relation with Jesus, it makes me think about a relation with a person. And so if we meet somebody, we can call them a friend, just like we can say, I'm a friend of Jesus. Jesus is a friend of mine. Okay, but if we just meet somebody and we call them a friend, that does not necessarily make us a friend. I think that it helps to spend time together to have friendship grow. I think it helps to get to know each other, to have friendship grow. So are we just all of a sudden a friend because we state that we are a friend? Or does it take a little bit of doing where we get to know the person? Do we get to know Jesus so that we can call him a friend? And he can call us a friend because we talk to him. So that's my idea that I want to remind you about. Yes, Jesus is a friend, but let's make it a close friendship as best we know how. And part of it is with our words, and part of it is with our actions. We always say that we want things to turn for the good, and sometimes we have to take actions to make things better. And I think about that as being saved also. We might have to do something so that we get into the wedding feast of the Lamb. And there again I go, Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. 5 made it in, 5 did not. Well, we want to make it in, don't we? We want to have eternity in heaven. That's the wedding feast that we are talking about. Eternal life with Jesus. Is it worth a little bit of your effort? Is it worth your reading the Bible? Is it worth your understanding and having a friendship with Jesus Christ? Maybe there's just a little bit to do so that you can deepen that friendship, and that way you can tell others more about Jesus Christ. So think about it. Search it out, and be understanding of that pattern that'll take you into eternal life. I do think about people who are full of thoughts in this life, and it's hard for them to think about the spiritual aspect of eternal life, or even about this life, because they are so full of thoughts of the earth that they do not easily think of eternal life. But isn't that where our real goal is? Eternal life? Well, I think of facing eternity. And I know that when we face eternity, we think about God and not very much about the things of this world. I think about when I was in that hospital last year, and I think about the people in the hospital that simply disappeared, and I think they just passed away, and they were quietly taken out of the room. So there were two people like that in my couple of weeks stay at the hospital. And I think, did they have a relation with Jesus Christ? I know one of them certainly used God's name all the time, and it was not just in a good way. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not the judge, but I know it did not sound good to my ears what he said. So I will use that as a reminder to say that we don't know how long life lasts. Just like you could have a car crash. I had that car crash. Yeah, and then some years before that, I had the house burned down just like, was it 5 or 10 minutes right in between. The whole house went up in flames. I don't know why. Nobody knows why. The fire department didn't know why. But there it happened. That was a big loss of all those earthly things. But it sure made me realize how fast death can come, just like my accident did in the car. And just like those people, the two men in the room with me, a little bit apart, they just disappeared. The staff will never tell you what happened, but it just seemed like they were pretty much at the end. And so life and death have been kind of close to me in the last few years. And so I know that we want to face eternity with God and Jesus Christ. And even if you say, yes, God is important to me, Jesus is so important. One of those men that disappeared from the room I was in, that's what he said. I talked to him about Jesus, and he said, there's nothing more important than Jesus. Okay, but what are you doing about it? I don't know that I know the answer to it. I did not ask him it like that, but I thought about it as the day went on, and I thought about what do we do about Jesus Christ and our relation with Jesus. I think it means we don't use. I think we honor, respect, and love Jesus Christ. And we do that when we want to spend an eternity with him. And the closer we get to death, the more we look at such an idea, such a concept of spending time with Jesus. We have some very interesting life experiences, and often enough they show us how limited life is and how we want to spend eternity in the presence of God and not at that hell fire. So how much do you want it? Are you willing to change your life a little bit to show God that you belong to him? Now there's others who say, no, you don't have to do a thing. Did he say those words? Oh, yes, I accept Jesus. Okay, that must mean I'm saved. Well, that's not my call. Yes, there are words that support that in the Bible. There's also words that support that you need to belong to Jesus. So how do you belong to Jesus? I think it means you're going to do his will on earth. Isn't that how you show love for your neighbor and love for Jesus? Yes, you love other people and you care about their eternal life. So how do we do that? I think that's a question that we all ask and we all have opportunity to take when we can talk to a person, whether it's in a hospital or whether it's at a holiday celebration with our family and friends. Now, let's be wise about it and see how to do it with wisdom. Let's speak to people with wisdom so they can hear what we're saying. And not saying, oh, another Jesus person. No, so I talked to somebody like that last week. Okay, well, you get to figure out how to make it something that they can listen to. After all, you are an intelligent person, and you will be able to figure out how to speak in a way that is godly to them. And part of what we do is to live for Christ. And sometimes that means we will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 13:12. Those who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So, yeah, we're going to suffer a little bit of persecution. That's what it says. And what it is, we don't know. What the effect will be, again, we don't know. But we thank God that we belong to him. And we seek to live our life for God, Jesus. And part of that will be to talk to people. That would be a missionary experience. When we talk to people about Jesus, we're being a missionary. There will be some people who will choose to stand for Jesus and not deny Jesus. And that would be a martyr. Sometime we will be missionaries. Sometime we can expect to be a martyr, and we seek to obey God as we go through life. That is just plain what we did. We know that people have always done that in the past. Look at the Colosseum in Rome. Look at Polycarp. Rome had a lot of martyrs. We have people that have been living in China. They refused to deny Jesus. They were martyrs. Look at Corrie ten Boom. She was somebody who lived for Christ, and she suffered persecution in the concentration camps. We all have something that we do, and it's not necessarily what we expect, but God has a place for us. I think about that missionary, Leslie Millen, who came from Canada and went to China. I think he was on a mission. He was a missionary, and he was there as communism took over China. He talked about the corruption, and he talked about how he looked forward to change in China. But we all have a testimony. He has a testimony, and we get to see how we grasp the truth of Jesus Christ and how to speak the good word about Jesus. There's so many things in China that are anti-God, anti-Christianity, and there are things that are oppose any opposition to the government is strongly opposed, and we see that in China. So there are things that, well, they're just tragic about how the authoritarian government of China disrespects life and freedom. And so we have life and freedom that we get to respect in the United States of America, because we do want to remain free. We want that very much. We want to recognize that there is an enemy to the United States and an enemy to our freedom. It's an enemy to God. And we have to stand up and tell people about Jesus anyway. There are lying wonders that will become used, probably through AI, that will try to convince people to follow an antichrist, whether that antichrist is a person or a robot. We just don't know. But we have things that are challenging our freedom and our prosperity, and we want to stand for Jesus in the midst of all that we do. This is what we have the freedom to do in the United States of America. Now, we have been conditioned in many ways to allow power to do what it wants, allow our government to do what it wants, and allow corruption within our government to do what it wants. And somehow, we have to oppose corruption and stand for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's something that is not always easy, and we might get persecuted for it. We might get put in jail or worse, because that is what happens. And we have this new thing with AI going on, and we have to know that if we are going to be quiet and docile, those powers that will be will overcome us. And we have to know that we have to ignore the things that are problems, like fluff and docility. We are not going to be docile and stand by, because if we are, we know what will happen. We will get run over by evil, by things that are anti-Christ. And that's the way the pattern has always been and still is. We want to be free. We want to have our freedom of government, our freedom of choice, our freedom of religion, and our freedom to write and have security in our papers and our home. Well, those are things that are talked about, but we don't have them unless they are exercised. And we have a great movement that wants to control the people. And they have learned how to do it. One of the people that has learned how to control people is Edward Bernays. In his 1928 book, Propaganda, he describes the technique of public manipulation. And many corporations have hired him and used his book and his theory to control the population and to do the sales jobs that the corporations want to do on the people. We have so much technology that is teaching how to do what. We have the Bible that tells us this will happen when we have Daniel 12:4, which talks about knowledge shall be increased in the last day, the last days. And there are Proverbs that talk about those who lack wisdom. And it's easy to lack wisdom when we don't look. We don't see the movement that is going on in society. We don't see what the Bible tells us about what will happen or what we can do to protect ourselves. We have a situation which is going more and more towards that great falling away that is in 2 Thessalonians 2. And of course, we don't want to fall away. We want to stand close to Jesus, and we want our heavenly reward. So we look at the battles that are going on around us, and we want to maintain our freedom. Yes, there was the American Revolution, and yes, there was the Civil War that wanted to promote freedom. And those battles were years long. The American Revolution lasted 7 years. The Civil War lasted 4 years. So if we are in a battle for our freedom today, I wonder how long it would be. Do you think it would be 4 years or 7 years or 20 years or 2 years? What if we could just do it in 2 months? Do you think that is possible to win a battle for our freedom in 2 months? Well, we might have to review what it was that our founding fathers told us to be aware of, to tell us what to do, have the principles that we support, and those would include our Bill of Rights. Are we going to just be docile and let the powers that be do whatever they want to do to us? Do they want to rule over us? Well, of course they do. Many foreign governments want to rule over America, because if they rule over America, they can have America's resources. And by the way, that means the natural resources and not the people. Because to a foreign government, the people are a trouble. And they want the metals and the timber and all the good things that we have in America. So we're going to have to stand up for freedom and honor God as we do it, because God is our strength. We are not as strong as God. We must rely on God for His strength, and that means we must honor and obey God. As we go forward, desiring the freedom that God has in mind for us, and He gives us the way that we can know how to provide that freedom for ourselves. So let's do it. Let's remember our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Let's have a voice for what we the people would say God's righteousness is all about. Love God and love your neighbor. Remember, you can listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And you might like today's broadcast or another one. I remember the December 16th broadcast. I happen to have liked that one very much. But you choose what you like. Listen or don't. It's all a matter of choice, because we have freedom in our country. God bless everyone. And if you would like a free copy of my preparedness papers, please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I will get that back to you. So send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And go in the goodness and the grace of God's love as you obey His rules, His statutes, and His word. God loves you, and He wants the best future for you that there can be. And that is a heavenly future. And the Bible tells us what it takes to get to heaven. So read it and do it as we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening today. Amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.